Today I will believe and confess that Jesus Christ was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. And by Jesus' stripes, I am healed. Amen, amen. So let's pray. Father God, we come before you in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, thanking you for all that you have done for each of us, Heavenly Father. We thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit who convicted us and drew us into the beloved. Father, we also thank you, God, for just allowing the Holy Spirit to guide us, to be here, Heavenly Father, and to help us. Lord, we thank you for Jesus Christ, the sacrifice that he gave. And Lord, we pray even now that our minds, Heavenly Father, will be illuminated to what it is that you have for us and everything that we need, dear God, you have given to us. And Lord, we ask that you would help us to open our eyes, that we would reach out our arms and grab hold of it. Lord, we thank you even now. We praise you and we bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So what I'm going to do today is I'm going to kind of back up a little bit. Shouldn't take me long, and then we'll move forward with what it is that that we're coming to discuss and talk about today. On April 14th, the message was the works of the one who helps us. I summarized that last week. I'm going to go through and do a quick synopsis or a quick summary of it as well again. Because I just think it's important that we realize what we have on the inside of us, what God has given to us. And there's so many places that the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost is mentioned in the Word of God. And I just think I know for myself that I have not acknowledged or utilized that in the way that I should have. So I think it's good for us, and I think sometimes we often miss or not understand what it is that the Holy Spirit gives to us. So at this time, I'll do that just briefly to bring us up to speed from 2 weeks ago and then up to speed from last week, and then we'll get started, okay? So we talked about on April 14th, so if you didn't hear the message or you need the scripture, you can always go back and reference that online. But we talked about the failure to take what God has given us. We talked about the rich man complaining about things that he didn't have. We used an example of a rich man that had everything but complained about not having everything that he needed. And as Christians, sometimes we do the same thing. And I use that reference about the Holy Spirit because we have him, but many times we don't utilize the things that he has given us. So I'll just go through quickly about how the Holy Spirit helps us. The first thing we said was that he convicts us of our sins, even while we were in the world, which that's how we were drawn to him. He seals our salvation, meaning that a seal means that it's authentic. So our salvation is authentic. We don't have to do it over and over again. It's done. It speaks to ownership. When the Holy Spirit seals our salvation, it's ours. We don't lose our salvation. We continue to work as far as our work on reading and understanding God more and more, but we have ownership of that salvation. And it speaks to protection. So our salvation is protected. The Holy Spirit helps us and keeps us in that manner as well. We said that the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us. He dwells in us. We said the Holy Spirit teaches us. He teaches us different things that we need to know. The Holy Spirit, he guides us, as Sister April just mentioned a little while ago about his guidance. That's one of the things that he does for us. He produces fruit in us. Also said that the Holy Spirit, he produces fruit in us, and the fruit that he produces in us is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. We said that the Holy Spirit also reminds us. I used the example of when Jesus was here on the earth and his disciples were with him, all of the things that he was saying, all of the things that he was doing when Jesus left, the Holy Spirit brought to their remembrance the words that Jesus said, the things that happened. So these things were accurate because of the Holy Spirit. So all of these were things that the Holy Spirit does. We said that he equips us, and we also said that he empowers us. Let me go back to equipping us. He equipped us as apostles, prophets, teachers. He gave some of us miracles, gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. Those are the things that he said, that we said that the Holy Spirit equips us with. Now, you may not have all of those, you may have one, but he does equip us with spiritual gifts. Now, the last that we mentioned on here was that he empowers us, the Holy Spirit empowers us, because Jesus, when he was getting ready to leave, before he was crucified, he knew that the disciples would be, that they would be disheartened, that when he died, when he left, he knew how they would feel. So he sent a comforter, he sent a helper, the Holy Spirit, to help us along, to help us and to help those disciples along the way. And he instructed them by saying that, that he would pray and that he would send the comforter to help them. In John chapter 14, verses 16 through 18, he talks about what he's going to do. And he tells us that he was sending the helper, that he sent one that would comfort us, that he would come to us. And I guess since she has it up there, I'll just go ahead and read it. And it says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter or helper, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." So we see here through the scripture, he says, "I will not leave you comfortless," or "I will not leave you without help." He said he would come to us. So how is Jesus doing this? He's doing this because he's sending the Holy Spirit when he leaves, because he knows that he can't be in multiple places in a physical body. But the Holy Spirit can indwell. He indwelled the all of the disciples and every person that received the name of Jesus Christ from there on. So whether you know it or not, we mentioned that you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. Then on April 21st, the message we preached was, "It's finished, God has done it all," which is what we're going to kind of continue on, but I'm going to do a synopsis on that as well. We said, so we reviewed this last time. Again, if you're looking, for the scriptures that we did last week, you can go online and find them. That was last Sunday's service. But for that message, we kind of talked about God, about the Holy Spirit, and how he has given us knowledge, how he's given us truth, how he's given us, again, remembrance, power, and giftings through the Holy Spirit. We said that God has given us everything that we needed since we were saved, which was the Holy Spirit. And then we said that the question was, what are we doing with our minds concerning our salvation? And in the scripture, it says our salvation extends beyond spiritual renewal. And the spirit is renewed. We said that our spirit is renewed, but our mind is not. So once we are saved from our sins and death, we must renew our mind. And so I'm going to read in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 through 2, just to make sure that we're up to speed. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed. We talked about being conformed to this world. It says, don't be conformed to this world, because before we were saved, we were doing the things that the world did. Whatever the world did, we were conformed to it. We were just like it. If the world went this way, we were going with it. And then, so it says, but to be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So when we're transformed, the world is going this way, we should be going the opposite way. Shouldn't be going the same way with the world. So we also mentioned last week that man is a spirit. So he has a spirit that has a soul. Man is a spirit that has a soul that lives in a body, that lives in flesh. And so we mentioned that when we get saved, our spirit is saved. Your mind, will, and emotions, that's not saved. Your body, your flesh, I don't know if that ever gets right. Because you all, even once you're walking in the spirit, you know, there are things that you want to go and do and that you want to say that are not godly. So all of those things, the soul, that's not saved, the body's not saved, but your spirit is saved. When you accept Jesus Christ, your spirit is saved. But we talked about in our mind, how are we thinking about these things concerning our salvation? Renewed mind, and we said that transforming our mind is not an easy thing. And here's why. Once we get saved, you're saved there, but there's still the issue. As you are learning these things to control the soul, which is your mind, will, and emotion, and your flesh, your mind is what's going to dictate to your soul, to your mind. Your mind dictates to your will and emotion the direction that your body is going to go. So the more you're transforming your mind, the further you get away from those things that you were conformed to in the world. So we talked about those things, about transforming our mind, that it's not easy because the culture that we live in is dark, that there are many distractions, that the things we used to think and we used to do, we have to change all of those things. And the only way we can do that is to get around like-minded people now that we're saved. It's very difficult for you to transform your mind, to change your mind, to renew your mind, if you're still hanging around the same stuff, if you're still doing the same things. It's just going to be very difficult. Now, before we got saved, there are some of us, even before we were saved, your household may have been better than another person's. And I heard a minister say that, you know, so somebody's household, you know, you might have had everything intact, everything was good, food on the table, you know, no outside disturbances, but then another person may have had all kind of things going on. And so just because that's the case, that things were going good for you, or for this other person, things weren't going good for them. And then they finally, the person whose household was good accepts Jesus, and the one that's whose household was not as good accepts Jesus, their mind is still messed up. So the minister just basically said that one is a little bit jacked up, the other one is a lot more jacked up. But again, the mind has to be renewed to get us to be more and more like Jesus Christ, right? So once we're saved, dealing with that mind is what we're trying to, is the direction that we're trying to go in. We also mentioned last week that God gave us everything. And we looked at Genesis chapter 1, and we talked about that and the fact that Adam was not created until the sixth day, and how God created the heavens and the earth and the herbs and the animals and the seagoing animals, the birds, so on and so forth, how he put everything here on earth that Adam and Eve needed, but also that every human being on earth needed, because he told us to take dominion over the earth. So we talked about those things and about why he created Adam on the sixth day, or why we believe he created Adam on the sixth day, was because he made all the provisions for him, which was basically why we talked about, we were saying that everything was completed. God has given us everything. Adam didn't come here saying that, hey, I need some food, Lord, or God, I need some water to drink, or God, I'm lonely, or whatever it is. He provided everything for God, and we went through that in Genesis chapter 1. So we said that man is God's greatest creation, that he didn't create him on the first day again because he wanted everything there for him. He gave him these provisions. And so those are the things in a short version that we talked about last week. But what I want to go back to is this renewed mindset, because I made some mentions about that, but I don't know if I went into it as I really wanted to. So we said that our renewed mindset should transform our prayers and our requests from God, that we should pray in confidence in accordance with God's will, that we shouldn't be begging like I used to pray. So I'm going to use myself. You know, everything was a beg. God, I need this. God, I want that. God, help me with this. God. Well, we already declared that the Holy Spirit is our helper. That helper lives on the inside of us. So we have that. So we don't have to. Now, do we need God's help? Yes, we do. But do we have to beg for it? We have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us to guide us, to teach us, to bring to remembrance. As I mentioned, I had lost an item that I really needed that was going to cause me some problems. I was looking around for all this time, couldn't find it, And I finally realized, man, you're talking about the Holy Spirit. One of the things that he does is bring to our remembrance. And I remembered in a short fashion where the item was that I was looking for. So our prayers should line up with the fact that we have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. But just because he's there, if we don't grab a hold of him, we don't get the things that we need. So our prayers, we want to, as we pray, not be in this begging sense. We don't want to pray, God, I just need money, or God, I just need this. Our prayers should expound deeper than that, because a person that has everything, they don't have to beg for those things, but you have to realize it, even if you don't have it. That's the linchpin. If you don't have it, that's what faith is, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Whatever it is that you're seeking, whatever it is that you desire, as long as it lines up with the will of God, you need to declare that you have it. And I'm not talking about a fake name it and claim it. I want a Maserati, so I'm going to pray about it, and the Maserati coming. That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about faddish stuff or faddish Christianity. We're speaking of things that God has given us. You need peace. You need joy. You need love. God knows that you need money. He knows those things. But he also says that we should seek him first. Seek God first, and all of those other things shall be added unto us. So our mindset should be as this. And I'm going to read here in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. If you have it, say amen. For the sake of time, I won't delve too far and wait too long. It's a short verse, Matthew 7, 7. And she has it up there already, so I'm going to go ahead and get to reading it. It says, ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks, receive it. For everyone that asks, receive it. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. So, even though we have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, here we see in Matthew 7, 7, where it says what we have to do. Now, that's what I wanted to dispel. I don't want people to think, well, I got the Holy Spirit in me, and I can just kind of walk around. He's going to do it all for me. That's not what we're talking about in the title. We're talking about we still have things that we have to do. So when you pray, it says, ask and it shall be given. Seek. What does he mean by seek? You got to seek him. Look around. You got to be about your business. Seek and ye shall find. You'll find those things that you're seeking in Christ. Knock and it shall be opened for you. So all of these things God is saying that he will do. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, he that seeketh, findeth, and he that knocketh, it shall be opened. So there's something that we have to do. We can ask the Holy Spirit for guidance and all of these things, but we still have to pray. We still have to ask. We still have to seek. And we still have to knock. So there are some things that we do. When we knock, it's like when you're going to somebody's house and you knock on the door, you're trying to get somewhere. You're trying to find something. You're trying to visit. God wants you to knock on his door every once in a while. God wants you to seek after him. You know, it's just like when you're dating, on the dating scene. I know for my wife and I, you know, when we were dating, man, I was seeking after her because I wanted to please her. I wanted to make sure that I was spending time with her. So I sought after her. I took that ride from New Orleans to the yard, to Southern University to see her. I wrote letters to her. I was on the phone. There were things that we had to do. I couldn't seek her and never call her. I couldn't seek her and never go see her. I couldn't seek her and never spend time with her. I couldn't date her without asking her. I could just be around her. Now, she says that she got upset because it took me a long time to say something, but I was going to let some water run up under the bridge before I did that. But there was something that I had to do. We never would have started dating if I didn't ask her. I guess we could have just been looking at each other, but she probably wasn't knowing her. She wasn't going to let me hold her hand and at least maybe put my arm over her shoulder when she was cold or something along those lines. She just didn't play those games like that. So, you know, there was something that I had to do. In the same way, when we pray, there's something that we have to do, but with the realization that God is already, everything that he did, we mentioned that he died on the cross, and it was finished. So everything that we need, God has given us. He said he'll give us the desires of our heart. He'll give you those desires, but as you mature. He's not just giving you the desires of your heart and you're just a babe and you're asking for weird things or things that you don't need or things that might even hurt you. A good parent does not do that. He doesn't give. We don't take as a good parent that can maybe afford a big car. Well, you're not going to allow your four-year-old to drive down the street even if he could. Why? Well, he can drive. Well, that's true, but he can kill everybody too. And he doesn't have any understanding of the rules of the road. And just there's experiences that we have to go through. And in the same way as we pray and as we walk in our faith and we have these victories and as we go through trials and tribulations, that there are things that we gain and that we learn. And so as a result of that, you know, we build more and more faith in Christ. And God looks at us and says, okay, well, let me put a little bit more on him. And that's how you get those desires of your heart. You don't come to Christ for the desires of your heart. That's not why, unless he's the sole desire of your heart. Otherwise, you're probably going about this in the wrong way. It's about relationship with him. And that's why we ask and we seek and we knock. So the next scripture that I want to go to is Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 through 20. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 through 20. I'm going to go ahead and when you get there, say amen if you got it. Okay, I'm going to go ahead for sake of time here, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 through 20. It says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask, that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. So I wanted to get to verse 20 because we understand here that God can do exceeding abundantly. So not just abundant, you know, abundant is when you have a lot. He said he can do exceeding over that. He can do over abundant above all that we can ask. As we said, we ask, we seek, and we knock. Above all that we can ask or think in our mind, according to the power that worketh in us. How does he do it? According to what? According to the power that worketh within us. What is that power that worketh within us? It is the Holy Spirit that worketh within us, that Jesus sent to each and every one of us when we accepted him. The problem is that we have to develop that relationship with the Holy Spirit. If we don't develop that relationship with the Holy Spirit, if we don't ever say anything, then we stay miniature Christians. We stay down here. You know, we stay small. And that's really not what we're trying to do. We're trying to grow. We're trying to be in a place where God can add and build more things upon us. So that power that worketh within us is the Holy Spirit. But again, we have to continually strive to grow and grow and grow. So we can realize that since God has given us his spirit, that God also is not mad with us. One of the things that I, as a kid, I remember, you know, there were just certain things I wasn't going to do. I just wasn't going to do it for two reasons. One, I didn't want God to be mad with me. I think that was probably the second reason at that time. The first reason was I didn't want to get beat. I didn't want to catch a whipping. I just did not. I didn't even like being around adults when I was a kid because I just figured for some reason I was going to do something and I was going to get in trouble. And I kind of had that same mindset about God. I did. I was just afraid. Like, I ain't doing that because, you know, back in the day, the old people, the older folk would say, man, God going to get you. And I didn't want to be got by God. Every time it rained and there was thunder and lightning, it was like, oh, you know, they closed the windows and all of that stuff, which I guess they should have. But, you know, you were just terrified because that was what was in my mind at that time. And not just mine, but I think most of the people that I was around that were my age and others as well. But what we have to remember is that God is not mad with us. He's not upset with us once we accept him. Now, if you have not accepted God, you are on your way to experiencing God's wrath, and that is true. But if we are called to the beloved, if we have put our faith in Jesus Christ, we don't have to worry about God being mad with us, even when we do bad things. That's the Father that we serve. I remember with my own children, you know, the only thing when they did something that I wasn't pleased with, I really just wanted them to tell me the truth. Now, they may say different. They may say, man, he got on us big time. But the whole thing that I wanted was just them to tell the truth, and I wanted them going in the right direction. I would get upset with them, probably more so than God got upset with me. But at the end of the day, what I really wanted was, man, from you being here to you growing up, I want you to be in a place that you're going in the right direction and that you know, because it was my duty as dad to do that. In the same way, it's God's duty. He chastises us. God does chastise us, but he's not mad with us. He loves us. He's just trying to keep us on that straight and narrow way. He doesn't want us stray. So since God has done it all for us, he's not mad with us, our renewed mindset should transform our militant thoughts of how we perceive God. Again, I said God is a good parent. He's not out to hurt you. He's not going to give you anything that you might think is so great that you're praying for. He's not going to give you that if it's going to hurt you, if it's going to take you off the path that he has for you. He has given us the Holy Spirit to guide us. He has given us a Holy Spirit that when we don't know, the Holy Spirit teaches us. So we have all of these things from Jesus. When he left, he said he would give us these things. So all of these should help us to see God from a different place. Our renewed mindset should also transform our speech and our countenance. It should control how we speak, the things that we say. When we become saved, as we renew our mind, now you can't just get saved and think all of that's going to happen, because it's not. Even though you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, it's not until you start reading, until you start having conversations and dealing with people of a like mindset, until you steer your eyes from the mess that you were looking at to something else. I turned my cable off about a month, I don't know, 6 weeks ago. I don't know how long it's been. I just got rid of it. I'd been saying I was going to do it for years, but I liked basketball too much. So I finally said, you know what? Time to shut it off. Why did I do that? Why did I shut it off? Save a little money, but more than that, it was I didn't like what I was seeing. Even if I was watching the basketball game, if I was watching the news, if I was watching this or that, some of the programs, even during the programs, even though things were not supposed to be said, my mind is renewed now. I'm focused. I'm getting where I'm supposed to go. There's no turning back. I don't want to shrink back. I want to grow. I can't look at that anymore. I need to control what I'm watching. So now I watch what I want to watch. I don't have to see two brothers hugging each other no more in the commercial, or sitting close, messing with my mind. I don't have to do that anymore because I don't watch that like that anymore. Now, is that a part of the world? Am I trying to escape the world? I'm not. The Bible tells us we're in the world. You know, it basically says, it doesn't say it this way in Scripture, but we're in the world, not of it. However, I need to limit that. I need my time with God, my thoughts, my renewal in my mind to be more about God, more about what the Holy Spirit wants me to be seeing, about what Jesus, his teachings, what he has told me. Not on two dudes laying on the couch by each other. That ain't how that works. That's not what we're trying to do. Some of the language that I hear, some of the things that, you know, the guy's out there all buff and he's got his little Speedo on. I don't want to see that. I don't want to see the woman with nothing on. You know, it has gotten crazy. My son knows how to manipulate the TV so you can watch the games or whatever. And the TV was on. I think he was gone. The woman's shaving her legs and she don't have nothing on. I'm like, what is, look, I just turned it off and went to the back. I'm like, I can't do this. So when your mind is renewed, now, before my mind was renewed, you're just sitting there watching, taking it all in. But your mind cannot take a joke. It can't take a joke. Whatever it sees, it feeds it. And then what you say and what you do and where you go, all of those things line up with your mind. Your mind is what dictates how your will rolls, your emotions, and dictates where you go, what you do, where you're comfortable at, your mind. See, there's certain things in the nature of what I do for a living. And certain things I'm like, I'm around it, but I do everything that I can to insulate myself from it, whether it be to leave. If I'm there, I'm on a mission. I go and I get whatever done, and I go. Same thing for you guys at work. There are things that happen in your places of employment or where you work that you really don't want to be a part of. And it's during those times where you're like, Holy Spirit, keep me. You know, there are things, and I won't go through all of those things, but there are things that have happened while I'm doing things, you know, that I don't do anymore. When a worker or a customer or somebody says or does something, I still want to react, but the Holy Spirit, I sense what God is doing on the inside of me, and for the most part, I don't do those things. Does it feel like it want to come up sometimes? Sometimes, but not nearly as much as it did years ago. There are things that happen now that if it had happened 20 years ago, you know, I probably would have been in jail because that's just my mindset was not renewed to the point that it is now. And when we renew our mind, it's not a one-time thing. Our mind should continually be being renewed. We talked about the fact of once saved, always saved. I believe that that's true. There's others that don't. That's not a lynch point in our salvation. But I believe that once you're saved, you're saved. However, your mind should continually be being renewed. We should be going to different levels as we seek God, as we go through different things in our lives. There should be some growth there in our life. We don't want to stay, as I said, little bitty Christians. So I was at work, and I was talking to a group of the people that were there. And so we were just talking and going on, and I heard one of the young ladies say something, and it almost shocked me. I had to kind of shock myself back into reality. So I was walking behind them, and I heard her say, they called me Mr. Chris over there. They said, Mr. Chris won't hurt nobody. I just kind of looked at her like, okay, yeah, I guess that's right. I was talking about our countenance should change. Now, these people I've been around for a long time, and I've always thought of myself as, you know, I'm going to protect myself and protect the things that I need to protect. But as we draw and rely upon Jesus and his teachings and we read more about him and understand who the Holy Spirit is on the inside of us. And this happened maybe a week ago when she said it. You start, you don't even notice certain things that the world sees in and of you. So it startled me because I don't really remember too many people saying that. Usually it's like, oh, he's going to do this. And for whatever reason, I don't know. I've always, people that I have this distant relationship with me, if it's been a while when I see them, if they don't remember what we did, they always say, well, man, were you in the military? Were you a police officer? Were you in the army? I'm like, no. So I've always had that type of demeanor to a lot of people. And I still have people that say that. But when she said that, it startled me because that's not just me, I guess. What she's seeing is how God has been dealing with me, how the Holy Spirit has been guiding me. What I've read about Jesus, that some of that roughness and toughness, it's not as visible anymore. And to that, I say thank you, Jesus, because, you know, we don't want to be people that aren't approachable. We want to be people that folk can approach and that when we go to them and talk to them about different things and try to speak life to them, that they're acceptable of it. So, again, our mindset should transform our speech and our countenance. So, everything that we've attributed to the Holy Spirit to this point, it leads to this here. We're going to remember that the Holy Spirit does this, and I don't think I mentioned it at all. But the main thing that the Holy Spirit does is he exalts Jesus Christ. So all of those characteristics, all of those things that we talked about, all of those things are used for the glory of Jesus Christ. And for the glory of the Lamb of God. So, let's listen to what Jesus says about the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the one who is our helper. Let's go to John chapter 15, verse 13 through 14, and we're going to deal with that. Give you a second, then I'm going to go ahead and get to reading. John chapter 15, verse 13 through 14, it says, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. It says, for he being the Holy Spirit, shall not speak of himself." The Holy Spirit does not speak of himself. "But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you." So here we see in John 15, 13, 14, that the Holy Spirit doesn't speak of himself. His job, again, is to glorify. It says, he shall glorify me. Not he might glorify me, he shall, meaning that that's what he does. He will glorify Jesus, me being Jesus. That's what he does. "For he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you," show it unto us. So Jesus is talking here before he's getting ready to be crucified to his disciples. And he's telling them about this Holy Spirit here, that the Holy Spirit will glorify him. Let's go to John chapter 15, verse 26. And it says, "But the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth," which he's referencing the Holy Spirit, "which proceedeth from the Father. He shall testify of me." Testify, we've all heard Old Testament, New Testament. And all a testament is something that serves as a sign or evidence of a specific fact, event, or quality. Something that serves as a sign or evidence of a specified fact, event, or quality. That's what a testament is. So he says that the Holy Spirit shall testify of Jesus. So how does all of that work? How does the Holy Spirit testify of Jesus? Well, let's see what God says by the writings of the Apostle Paul. How does this happen? How does he testify? So we know that the Holy Spirit does not speak of himself, that he will glorify Jesus, and that he shall testify of Jesus. So let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 through 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 through 6. And it says, "Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistle, written on in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, but in tables of stone, but in flesh, not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward," or toward God. "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life." Now, all of that, as I ask the question, how does the Holy Spirit testify of Jesus? Again, the Holy Spirit speaks not of himself, but he testifies of God, he glorifies God. So how does he speak and testify of Jesus? Well, it says it right here, that we are written, Paul says that we are our epistle, our letter, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. The Spirit that is living on the inside of us is the word written in our heart. And all of those things that the Holy Spirit does, his job is to glorify God by the Holy Spirit through us. So basically, our life is the written letter. Our life is the thing that people read. And it talks about it right here in the scripture. that each of us, not the letter, not anything written, but what we do, the acts that the Holy Spirit performs through us, the love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, the temperance, the meekness, all of those are things that when people see it, that's the letter that they should read. Those are the things that they should see in us. And that is how the Holy Spirit testifies of Jesus through each of us. Each of us that are saved, each of us is an epistle. Each of us is a letter because people are watching, whether you know it or not. Just as I mentioned, the young lady made the comment that he won't hurt nobody. They're watching, whether you know it or not. Everybody is looking. How are you portraying, and what are people saying about you in your walk? Are you, in your walk, just kind of hanging out with the world all the time? If that's what you do, I'm going to tell you what those people saying. Man, he ain't. He talk all that Jesus stuff. He be out here with us. That's what they're saying. Now, even when you are amongst people that do not believe, and I'm not getting down on people that don't believe. That's where they are. We all were there. We're all sinners. We all still sin. But we have on the inside of us the Holy Spirit that convicts us of our sin, that makes us feel really bad when we do things that we're not supposed to. And even when we do things that we're not supposed to and we don't feel really bad, at some point you're going to say the Holy Spirit's going to convict you. It's going to pop up in your head and you're going to be like, oh, man, I did that. And you're going to feel a certain way. And you're going to, well, Satan, let me say not you, me. I'm going to try to reconcile that. And if I don't, it always pops up. There's something that I didn't do. However, if you're just hanging out with folk that don't know God and they're not feeling a certain way, they're just super comfortable with you, like, and I'm not talking about the first time you meet them, but over a while, or they're not noticing something different about you, check your salvation. Check it. Once saved, always saved. If you're hanging out, if you call yourself a Christian and you're doing things that are not in accordance with the word, check your salvation. Your soul is in danger of hellfire. Now, that wasn't even a part of what I was coming to talk about. I was talking about the goodness of God here. But if you're not, you need to check it. And if you ever read through this Bible, you know the things that are. I'm not going to go down some list of things that you may or may not do or that we may do, but, you know, if you're doing those things and there's no conviction there, check your salvation. You need to double down on it because on the inside of us lives the Holy Spirit who convicts us, and that's not where we want to be. Our life is an open letter to the world. It should be an invitation of the goodness of God. Now, I'm not talking about the car you drive. I'm not talking about how much money you have in the bank. I'm not talking about any of that stuff. But your life, how you roll, when things get rough, how you roll. Sometimes you want to break down. Sometimes you want to throw it all to the side. But again, and even if you do, you got to come up out of it. You got to keep moving because of the one that lives on whatever state you're in. The Holy Spirit is on the inside of you. When I was in the back preparing to come out, I was thinking about my mother-in-law. She's, you know, still dealing with physical issues. But the Holy Spirit is there on the inside of her. She's saved. She knows who God is. And my prayer for her, and as I deal with her and as I pray to her, is I pray that she realizes that everything is okay. You're good. Your salvation is sealed. You've done what you were supposed to do. I've seen her do what she was supposed to do. And as long as she has believed upon that, which every time I talk to her, we're talking about Jesus. And she's always, her little saying is, that's a Jesus thing. That's what she always says. I just know that she's good. And I pray and I seek in faith, and I pray that she knows and understands that she's going to come up out of this. That's our prayer for her. But in all of that, all of what I'm saying here, guys, is that our life is an open letter to the world. Watch where you go. Watch what you say. When you get upset, pray and ask. If that's what you do right now, it doesn't mean that you're not saved, but if that's what you do, you need to be asking God. Lord, Holy Spirit, be with me in those times when things get rough, when I get upset, when I get tired of people, or when I want to cuss them out, or whatever it is that one might do. You need to ask him because he says he will help you. God, Jesus said he will send you a comforter, a helper. Ask him. Don't be abashed. Don't be ashamed. Ask him to help you, and he will. So in all of those things, we have to continue this life to be in an open letter to the world. And the way we do that is to continue to grow by drilling down and gain an understanding of this word that we read. You may need to take little bits. My little head, I can't read too much and take it all in. Sometimes I just have to take little chops, get some in the morning, get some maybe at noon or whatever, just open it and then go back because it takes me a while. I'm a person that I have to do it several times, but once I got it, I pretty much got it. Now, sometimes you're wrong with some, you know, certain things that we all may be wrong about. You come back and you apologize about it, which I have one here that I'm going to do before we get out of here. But, you know, we have to keep that march, keep learning, keep striving for a relationship with God. When we first became saved, we were like little babes. We were on milk, right? Drinking milk, you know, there's a little saying. Boy, yeah, you, around here, you got Similac on your breath. People say that. Similac is a little drink that we give babies. It's protein enriched, and it has all these vitamins in it to help the baby grow. So when you're a babe, you're taking Similac. You know, we go through and we walk through the gospel, and we read about the gospel and Jesus Christ and his works and his miracles and all of those things and the passion that he did on the cross. All of those are a part. All of those are a part of our growth. And then we go into more weightier things as we grow older. Now, it would look really, really weird because the Bible talks about us as we get older, we should desire meat. Meat being, you know, heavier, more doctrinal things about the word. But it would look really, really weird if you've been a Christian for a very long time and you still walk around here drinking Similac. You got a can of Similac in your hand. Everybody's sitting down drinking a Coke and eating a steak. And you got some Similac and maybe some little cream of wheat or something, baby food that you eat. That's just weird. Well, that's how we look to the world when they start asking us questions about things, about God, about who do you say God is? Where do you derive your strength? You round there with Similac. I don't know, or a sippy cup or a bottle. I don't have no bottle. I didn't bring a bottle. But you round there. Come on, man, it's meat time. We need you to get the fork and the knife out and start carving that thing up. You gotta grow. We have to grow. I think one of the most damnable things that in our letter to the world as a Christian, that when people see us and they look at us and we stay here, it's okay to be an immature Christian, because we all were at one point, okay? But if you never grow, nobody ever sees any fruit, because again, fruit is not invisible. You should be able to see something. You might not have a big giant pumpkin that you're walking around, but come on, man, at least an apple, something. We gotta grow some fruit in whatever area it is. There was a man in Detroit, and he was a sanitary worker. He worked on the back of a truck, and he walked some super long way, like 15 miles to work every day, and he had to be there at like 5 in the morning, 15 miles. And he never missed a day, and he was always on time. Not here in Detroit, where it gets cold and nasty. See, here you can kind of say, oh, okay, well, you know, our weather's pretty temperate. Detroit, never missed a day and did it for years. Now, I don't know if the man was saved or not, but that sure sounds like a saved person's testimony there. But what I believe is that because what they did for that man, somebody bought him a car and said, man, you did all of that. So the fruit of his getting up and going to work and walking was that car. Somebody gifted him a car. Here you go, man. I don't think that's what he was working for. He had a bigger goal, which is the same thing that we should have going on as Christians. Our goal shouldn't be to get stuff, but it should be a deeper relationship with Christ. In the same way this man wanted to be to work on time, regardless of what it was, so he just debunked a whole bunch of people that talk about, man, I can't get to work, and you 4 or 5 miles down the street. If you can walk, you can get to work. In this day and time, there are bicycles, there's Uber, there's a cab, you've got them little electric scooters that you sit on, you can ride. You got all kind of ways to get to work. But some people just don't want to work. We'll save that for another day. But again, as we grow, we have to start taking on meat. As we mature in our faith and our belief in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit will guide us into deeper areas of ministry. For example, I'll give you an example here at our local assembly. When we started the youth academy in the back, and that was not my doing, but we have folk that are that I believe they eat meat. So the superintendent is a principal at a school, and we have another couple workers back there that are social workers, and that's an attorney in our children's ministry. Why are they there? Well, the one that was a principal, she had to go to the first grade. She was immature in what she was doing. The social worker, she had to go to school before she became a social worker. The attorney had to go to undergrad first and then go to law school. I guess that's how that works, but she had to start off somewhere, is my point. So they didn't start off and we just threw them back there and they were immature. They are mature in what they do, which is why they're back there doing what they do. So God has done it all for us. In the physical, we mentioned that when God came and created the earth, he gave us everything that we need. We said he's not creating any more air, no more new plants, none of that stuff. Everything that we need, God put it into motion when Adam and Eve, when he created the earth. But he also gave us everything that we needed in the spirit. When Jesus left here more than 2,000 years ago, he said he would send the Holy Spirit. He's on the inside of each of us. We have everything that we need. The question becomes, what are we going to do concerning our salvation? What are we going to do concerning this great and infinite spirit that we have on the inside of us? He's there. If you need something, and I got excited when I started doing this because, as I mentioned last week, there were some things that were in my that have been in my head for 20 years, and I'm mulling around, man, I need this, and I can't do that until I need this, and I can't go here until I get this. So I got to do, man, shut all of that down. God ain't trying to hear that. God is like, man, I left you. If you don't know it, that's on you. And I'm no attorney or anything. Ignorance of the law is no excuse for knowing the law. It's something like that. Ignorance of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, that ain't God's fault. That's your fault if you don't know. And if you can't read, God, the Holy Spirit will still teach you. All you have to do is ask. And God is not stupid or dumb. If you ask God something and it's a duty of the Holy Spirit, now, if you know somebody's name, you call them their name. We said that the Holy Spirit is a person, the person of the Holy Spirit, that he, those are the things that he does, the things that we talked about earlier. But God is not dumb or stupid. He knows what if you're calling and if you can't read and you out somewhere and don't know, he will hear you and deal with you. And if you ask him to reveal himself to you, he will reveal himself to you. So the excuses that we make, the excuses that I've made, they're not an excuse. They're a cop-out. And God is not down with fear. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. We have to be faithful servants, and we can't be fearful. Can't be fearful of success. We can't be fearful of failure. Because with both of those, you're going to experience, if you're trying to be successful, you're probably going to experience some failure. Now, I don't know anybody that's trying to fail, but it happens. But we have to push through. We have to make sure that we recognize that God is for us. God is not mad with us. He wants us to change. Our mind has to be renewed. We have to continue reading and seeking and reading and being cautious about where we go and what we do and recognizing that wherever you are, whatever you're doing, the Holy Spirit, God is right there with you. The one that Jesus sent is right there with us. Amen? Amen.